You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you that are joining us for the very, very first time, welcome aboard. I'm delighted you're here as well, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a great habit to get into. You know, here in the United States, and that's where I'm seated. I am in the Phoenix, Arizona area in the United States of America. If you're not familiar with Phoenix, Arizona, check it out on a map. We're out here in it's a desert. And in the summertime, it's absolutely unbearably hot. But then this time of the year, it's really nice. But here in the United States of America, we have a holiday each year called Thanksgiving. And one of my producers handed me this little story here about Thanksgiving that I think you may appreciate. It says, a man in Phoenix calls his son in New York 2 days before Thanksgiving and says, I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough. The kid says, Pop, what are you talking about? And the dad says, we can't stand the sight of each other any longer, his father says. We're sick of each other, and I'm sick of talking about this, so you call your sister in Chicago and tell her. Frantic, the son calls his sister, who explodes on the phone. Like heck they're getting divorced, she shouts. I'll take care of this. She calls Phoenix immediately and screams at her father, you are not getting divorced. Don't you do a single thing till I get there. I'm calling my brother back, and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me? And then she hangs up. The old man hangs the phone up, turns to his wife, and says, okay, he says they're coming for Thanksgiving and they're paying their own way. Ah, priceless. Absolutely priceless. You've noticed if you are looking at our website, some of you are looking at our website, some of you are listening via radio, but if you're on the internet and you're looking at our website, you've noticed a different look. And, you know, we don't let things stay the same for very long, and we're always trying to improve it. And already got a message here from Canada, from Stefan, and it says, just dropping a quick note to let you know I like the new visuals and improvements made to your site. Looks a bit cleaner, as they say in the designer jargon. Anyhow, keep up the great work, sir. And that's signed Stefan. Thank you for that. Thank you for noticing. I know that a lot of you did notice. It's still got a bug or two in it, but we'll get it fixed. One thing is that player, I mean, not the player, but up beside the player where it says now playing, that ought to change automatically as new songs come up. It doesn't. And the only way that it, the only way you can get it to change is to refresh the page. Well, I don't know. I put a semicolon in the wrong place, I guess. But we'll get that worked out. If you hear a song that you like, you want to know what's the name of the song, hit refresh and then look where it says now playing and it'll tell you. All right, we'll be back right after this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I want to give you an update on Dick Criswell. A lot of you probably already have gotten this update through your email. A lot of you are on various mailing lists that get the update and then they publish it. But a lot of you may not have gotten it. This came in last night after the show. And so I would have given it to you last night, but I didn't have it till after the show. I received this email from Dick's family, and it says, just a quick update. Dick was transferred from St. Vincent's Hospital on West 86th Street tonight to St. Vincent's Seton Specialty Hospital at 8050 Township Line Road, room 201, Indianapolis, Indiana. This is a long-term acute hospital. Dick needs extensive care and therapy to overcome the problems that he developed while in the rehab wing of a nursing home. He was in good and positive spirits tonight. That would have been last night. The first in a long while. Thank you for all your prayers. He still needs them. Those of you who are new to the show may not be aware of who is Dick Criswell. Dick Criswell is he is a person who has been for a very long time into the UFO investigation and research, and he's a former member of the AlphaCom. I'll get it right eventually. AlphaCom team, and he is the founder of the International Paranormal UFO Society, IPUS, and he's my friend, and he's a friend of this show, and we wish him all the best. If you pray, well, send some prayers out for him. If you send healing energy, send that. Whatever it is you do, do it in behalf of Dick Criswell. He's a good guy, and he's just really, really had a tough time since his surgery. He had a few weeks back, he had quintuple bypass surgery after having had a heart attack. And part of the problem with the healing process for him is that he is also diabetic. And so he's had a really rough time, and appears to be moving in the right direction now. And you want to be sure and continue to pray for him, and all your best thoughts and prayers his direction. And if Dick is listening tonight, Dick, we love you, bud, and we wish you the very best. Well, tonight we're going to go open line, and I want to set the stage by telling you that I have had today one strange phone call after another, each one strange for its own reasons. One of those phone calls I cannot tell you about. One of those phone calls will be with me as my guest on Monday. And so you want to be sure that you tune in Monday. That's all I can tell you. It's all I can say. But if you tune in Monday, you will find out why. And you will find out some really, I think, very interesting information. But that's all I can tell you about it. It's been a strange day. Just one call after another, that were packed with out there information, and that's what we're all about. Speaking of out there, let's talk about, let me get these in order here. Let's talk about Saturn for a moment, and I'll open the phone lines here in a little bit, but let's talk about Saturn. Saturn has some very strange things happening on it. It has an aurora like we do. You know, we have the aurora borealis, and Saturn has an aurora. But a whole new different type of aurora has shown up. I've read the article several times. I don't truly understand why this is so different. But the scientists involved say that this is an aurora like no other they have ever seen anywhere. And the scientists involved with this are saying, they actually said, you know, maybe there is a physics involved on Saturn that's different than here. And I found that quite interesting. I'm looking for the story now. I got a bunch of stories here. You know, that is a very, very strange thing to say. That no aurora that they have seen anywhere, and maybe it is, some physics. Well, let me just read you what it says here about the physics. This is from Nick, and I think it's pronounced Achios, a scientist on the Cassini magnetometer team at the University College London. And here's what he says. Trying to explain its origin will no doubt lead us to physics, which uniquely operates in the environment of Saturn. Now, the reason I find that interesting is because, and I've talked about this many times before, this is not new, in our search for life out there, in our search for extraterrestrial life, the scientists keep saying, follow the water. They keep saying, we know that you know, life requires water, and it requires oxygen, and it requires energy. So if you find water, you found oxygen. You know, water is H2O. The O is oxygen. So follow the water, because when you find the water, you found oxygen. And if there's an energy source, a food source for something in that water, then you'll probably find life in that water. Well, that makes sense. However, it is homoterracentric. That kind of thinking is homoterracentric. It is man-earth-centered. Now, here's what I mean by that. They are saying follow the water if you want to look for life, because life as we know it requires these things. Well, that's not exactly true. We have found forms of life, ancient, very ancient life forms that live on, actually in this planet, that require hydrogen and carbon dioxide. We have found some that require methane. And if you expose them to oxygen, they die. Now, just think for a moment. We say life as we know it, we're talking about us. We're talking about us and other biological things that are related to us, down to microbes. And we're talking about, you know, the life as we know it requires water and oxygen. But these very ancient life forms that have been found here on Earth if you expose them to oxygen, they die. And when you think about us, don't you find it a little bit odd that we require oxygen? I mean, really, if you just stood back and looked at all the possible gases that could be used for breathing, you know, and let's say you're the person that's creating all this, and you were going to choose a gas to make these animals breathe, oh, would you really choose oxygen? Because oxygen is one of the most corrosive elements that exists. Oxygen will bring down a skyscraper. Oxygen will bring down a gigantic bridge made of steel. Oxygen is highly corrosive. So would you really make these creatures breathe oxygen? Yeah, we do. And I think it's possible, you know, if you were from some other planet and you were looking over here, you might say, you know, I don't think anything can live over there because there's just so much oxygen in the air. There's the concentration of oxygen is just too much. And I think you might say, I don't think there's life over there. But here we are. And I think whenever we look at other planets, if it happens the way scientists say, you know, they say life happens. Life is just going to happen. And, you know, well, if that's the case, don't you think life is going to happen within the context of the environment that it's in? So if it's in an environment where the principal gas is methane instead of oxygen, doesn't it make a little bit of sense that life would evolve there? It would develop there based on breathing methane. Now, see, we hear that, and it's hard for us to imagine it. We say, how can anything breathe methane and live? Well, that's because we don't. We're here on this planet where there's oxygen. But on another planet where it's methane, it seems logical to me that life would develop there based on the elements that are there, based on the gases that are there, just as it did here, based on the gases that are here. So, you know, I just find it sort of interesting. But I want us to take a look at this aurora on Saturn. What you're looking at, I'm not really sure. I've read this article now several times. They say we've never seen an aurora like this elsewhere. That is a quote. I'm not sure. They don't go into detail as to why this is so strange. But this is at the North Pole on Saturn. And I want you to look carefully at this picture that I've put up on the screen on our internet television station. Look carefully at this, because there is a feature that nobody has done much talking about, and it's there all the time, and that is this octagonal shape at the North Pole of Saturn. I'm going to outline it for you, and I'm not a very good artist, so my lines are not very straight, but after I do this, I will take the lines away, and you can see for yourself what I'm talking about. You see the blue aurora, but underneath that blue aurora, you can see the shape of that octagon. See that? It is so perfect. And no one does much talking about that. No one really discusses, other than to say, well, it's a strange thing to see that, but nobody really discusses why is there this shape, geometrically perfect shape, on the North Pole of Saturn. Could it be that it has something to do with producing that aurora? If so, that's something new. They've never noticed it before. they don't really understand why there is this aurora, and I don't understand why they're saying it is so strange. But that is what they're saying, and I think, you know, we need to pay some attention to this over the next few days. This story came out on the 12th, so it came out yesterday. And, you know, it has Saturn has a regular normal aurora that is caused by solar wind blowing in charged particles and so forth, just like we do. But this one is different for some reason. As the article says, we've never seen an aurora like this elsewhere. And they're talking about now that there may be a physics that is unique to Saturn. Well, if there can be a physics unique to Saturn, I think certainly that puts a little bit of change in the cup for my theory that says, why couldn't life develop elsewhere based on whatever elements are there instead of the elements that we have here? And let me just make one more comment about that, and then I'll move on to something else, and we'll get to the open lines here in just a moment. If you're looking to buy bread, and you go into an auto parts store, it is indeed a store, and they do indeed have many things to sell, but not bread. You went looking for bread, but you went to a place where you should not even expect to find bread. They don't sell it there. All right, the same thing is true when you go to another planet where there and the environment on that planet is nothing like Earth, but you start looking for life based on the things that it requires for us to live. You're not going to find it. And then you can come back and say later, well, we looked for life and we didn't find any. Pardon me. That's like saying, I went to the store and they didn't have any bread. But you're not telling the whole story. The whole story is, yes, you went to the store, but the store was an auto parts store, not a food store. Yes, you looked for life, but you looked for life as you would find it on Earth. You need to be looking for whatever life could exist in that environment. I don't know. Just a thought. Not only do we have that picture to look at, let me put this one up. This one is from the Hubble Space Telescope. Now, you know, we now know that there are something like 300 planets out there that are extrasolar. That means, of course, that they are outside of our solar system. The way they've been detected is by the wobble that they cause on their star as they swing around that star. So we've never actually seen one of them before. Visually, optically, we've never actually seen one. Well, this photograph is from the Hubble Space Telescope, and we can see one. Not very well, but that's what it is. That is a planet way, way outside of our solar system. It's probably a gigantic planet, something like Jupiter, maybe larger. But there it is, the first, very first optical photograph of an extrasolar planet. Remember, in 1995, they were saying, there's no such thing. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
always have strange things happen when we make changes. And we had a little strange thing happening there with the automated brakes. Maybe the rest will go okay. I hope so. All right, we're going to look at one more photograph in just a few minutes. I want to go ahead and open up the telephone line. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. It's open line. Now, we'll talk about whatever's on your mind, all right? We will talk about anything except politics. All right, we're not going to talk about politics. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hello, Kevin.
I like that picture of that extrasolar planet, but I don't think it's the first photo. I think it's only the first photo that they decided to show us.
Maybe. I mean, there's no way really for us to know that.
Well, I'm quite sure that they got some secret photographs of even juicier material than that little one that they're showing us. And speaking about Saturn from earlier, I think a certain planet called Nibiru might be having a bit of maybe partially responsible for what's going on Saturn.
All right, now is that speculation, or do you have evidence of that information?
Well, if you take Zechariah Sitchin's research and you place it along with the Mayans and other research, Nibiru would be close enough by now to cause those kind of effects on those far out planets, I would say.
All right.
That's my backing for it, anyway. It does make sense.
Well, yeah. The thing is, and you know, I think Zechariah Sitchin is on to something. I think there's something to what he says, but it's still in the classification of speculation because we haven't seen any photographs of Nibiru yet, and nobody's seen it through their telescopes.
Well, the Antarctica telescope apparently spotted it back in 1983, it was.
That telescope didn't exist then.
Well, apparently they spotted it back then.
Yeah, it was with a satellite called IRIS, I-R-A-S.
They're tracking the planet now with the Antarctica telescope. Sorry, I'm getting my information mixed up here. Yeah, it was with the IRIS they spotted it, and now they're tracking it with that Antarctica telescope. And apparently that a couple of years ago, that any new track photographs taken from that... that telescope in Antarctica is deemed as classified when it comes to Nibiru or something. That's what I heard anyway. That's just from some of the stuff I've been reading. So,
all right. Well, maybe it is Nibiru that's causing that. What do you make of that octagon shape?
That is quite strange. If it's something that's perfect, there's the chances of it being naturally forming are very, very, very slim. It's got to be some sort of intelligence behind that. And one more question. One question I do have to ask, if they have to classify something, if it doesn't exist, why do they have to classify information on it?
Well, that's an excellent question.
The same thing with UFOs and with the UK. If UFOs don't exist, then why did the UK have to have secret files on it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Question.
All right, man, thanks for the call.
All right, have a good night.
All right. All right, folks, it is Open Line Live. The telephone number is 602-539-9580, and we would love to hear from you. I'm just going to guess. Is this Steve?
Hello?
Is this Steve?
No, sir. This is Doc.
Okay. All right. I was just looking at the area code. All right, Doc, your first name is Doc, and where are you calling from?
I am calling from Arkansas.
Arkansas, outstanding. We've got a lot of listeners in Arkansas. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I was wondering, have you seen the picture from the Hubble telescope that looks like a baby in the sky?
No, I don't think I have. No?
Well, I have to email it to you then, because one of my friends emailed it to me.
And does it astound you?
Yeah, it's really surprising that you can actually, when you look at it, you can really see the image of a baby's face there.
Wow. Yeah, email that to me. I would love to see it. And next time we have an open line, I'll put it up on our video feed where everybody can see it.
Well, I'll definitely do that here. I got your email on your page, and I'll send it off to you tonight.
All right. Thanks, Doc. Thanks for the call.
Have yourself a good one.
All right. Bye. 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. Whatever happens to be on your mind, you got a question you want to ask me, let's go for it. One of the things, if you're a new listener, one of the things that you need to be aware of is that if you live outside of the United States and Canada, you can send me a flash message. All right. Now, you don't have to wait to hear me announce that every show. Okay. Every show. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can send a flash message if you're outside of the United States or Canada. Now, the way you do it is you go to my website and scroll down. You will see a link amazingly entitled, and I must say creatively done, flash message. Just click that and send me the email, all right? Now, this is, as I said, open line, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, except politics. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, good evening, Kevin. This is Steve in Fort Worth.
Hi, Steve. I looked at the area code of the previous caller and thought that was the Fort Worth area code, but I see now it is not.
Who's close?
How are you doing today?
That's way up in North Texas.
Where is that, Arkansas?
Yeah.
Yeah, suburb of Fort Worth, huh?
I'm doing well. Hey, I've got a serious story I want to tell you, and this happened to me just the other day.
All right.
And I go running on the weekends. I go running. I usually run in the afternoon during the weekend. And on the weekends, I run in the morning. And last Sunday, I was going outside. I let my dog out, and I was already had my running clothes on. Anyway, I was standing out there when my dog went out and did his business. Well, anyway, I was just kind of standing there, and I got a big magnolia tree in my backyard, and I was looking through the leaves. I was just kind of looking around the yard and just waiting for him to do his thing. And anyway, I looked in the leaves of the tree, and in the leaves of the tree, and this is a very serious, this is what happened to me. And this is a true story. Okay, I looked into the leaves of the tree, which is I had a branch of these trees. It probably hung down about eye level, and it was about maybe 15 feet in front of me. And anyway, Kevin, I noticed that, it looked like they... Did you ever see the movie Predator?
Yes.
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yes.
Okay, where that being or the alien kind of phased in with the... blended in with the environment?
Yeah, and you would see sort of a shimmer of like heat radiation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, I was looking into the leaves, and I saw this shimmering. It was, like, really reminiscent of that movie. And I said, I'm telling myself, I said, you know, this is not real. I said, you cannot be seeing this. So, anyway, I kind of turn away, and I look at my dog. Anyway, I'm interested now, so I look back. And when I look back, I see it again. So, help me God, I see it again. There's a shimmering. It's kind of like a little phase action going on. Leaves, and I'm saying, what is this? And so anyway, I'm thinking in my mind, that Yeah, I don't know if you remember in that movie, and I just kind of related this to that movie. I said, you know, in my mind, I'm saying, you know what? I see you. Whatever this is over there, I see it. You know what I mean? And so it was really bizarre, Kevin. So what I did, I got the dog, brought him in, I have like a little sidewalk that leads out. I have a detached garage, and it kind of leads out there. And so I said, I'm just gonna walk right past this area, see what happens. So what I did is I just kind of just walked, and when I walked by, now I didn't see it anymore. It kind of was phased out. And I walked by it, and nothing happened. So I got in the car. My car was parked around. I got in the car and go to my area where I go running. And I ran for like an hour, and I came back. But when I came back, I mean, I got sick. I was like sick, but to the point where I had to go lay down for like about a half a day. I mean, I was just unbelievably ill. And anyway, I remember I got up, I took a shower. I said, well, I'm going to take a shower, and hopefully this will kind of just, you know, knock the edge off whatever it is. And I closed my eyes in the shower, and I could see these, like, it was like a pattern of like four black lines with three white lines in the middle. It's like a pattern. Four black lines, three white lines. It's really weird stuff. I know it sounds bizarre, but it's absolutely true. And
what do you think that was?
I have no idea. But whatever it was, I think I walked right through it. And when I did, I had an after effect. Like I said, I was down the rest of the day until that evening. I'm going to say about 5 hours. I had to lay down like 5 hours just to get my wits about me again. And
what day was this?
It was on Sunday. Sunday morning.
Now, this is not a cover story, so you could cover why you were laying on the couch watching football, right?
No. I wasn't watching no football. I mean, I was literally sick. I mean, I was kind of like I was like you had some kind of form of a what do they call that, where you like you felt you're gonna pass out. It was weird. Anyway, I had never experienced that before. I've never seen anything like that. And I was minding my own business. I just happened to look up and look straight ahead, and right before my eyes, I seen something kind of shifting into like the folk that was in the leaves of the tree.
Now, did it ever take a shape that you could tell?
No, it was about the size. I'm gonna say it was about the size of a dinner plate. And if you just looked right at it, I mean, I looked right at it. I said, you know, I'd never seen nothing like that before. So I'm just gonna look right at it, and that's what I did. And I'm thinking in my mind, I said, I see you. I see what you're doing. And I don't know what it was, but I'm thinking that it was something. I had a feeling that it was something there. There was somebody there. And they were just kind of just there. I mean, it was like maybe for about a 20-second look that I saw them the first time. And I didn't feel like I wanted to go there and see what it was, but I just watched it just kind of just, you know, it was kind of blurry, kind of.
Yeah. And when you walked through it, we got a break coming up, but when you walked through it, did you feel anything?
No, I didn't feel anything.
It's just later, afterward, that you felt sick.
Yeah, it was a latent effect. When I got back, I mean, I was sick. I was sick to the point to where I was vertigo. You know, if you got up, like, you're going to fall down. It took about...
I got to tell you, Steve, that is a bizarre experience.
It is, and I wanted to call in and let you know because, I mean, this was something that I've never experienced before. And I said, you know what, I'm going to get my camera out and...
You want to hang on through the break?
Sure, I'll hang on just for a minute, sure.
Yeah, all right. We got to take this break. We'll be back, folks.
iPod? Get K-Pods, the Kevin Smith Show podcast, and take Kevin with you everywhere. Subscribe today at kevinsmithshow.com. iPod? Get K-Pods, the Kevin Smith Show podcast, and take Kevin with you everywhere. Subscribe today at kevinsmithshow.com.
Don't be out of the loop. Sign up for the K-Files e-zine at kevinsmithshow.com.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Steve. Steve, this thing that you saw, do you think it was an entity, or do you think that it was just some energy, or what do you think about this?
Well, when I first saw it, Kevin, I just automatically thought that it was somebody there, and it was kind of like they were like whatever it was. It was kind of like, I'm gonna say it was like out of phase. I don't know if you understand what phase is, but it was out of phase, and it got me to thinking right away, because I said, because I've been thinking, I've been toying around with some theories on how like aliens or UFOs, you know, how they kind of pop in and pop out of reality, and that's the way this was. It was definitely in my field of visit, in my field of vision. I mean, I could see it easily. And but it was just there, and then it kind of faded out. And it didn't even fade out. It blinked out. Put it that way. It blinked out. And then as I turned away, and I looked back, then it reappeared again. Like I said, it was about the size of a dinner plate. It wasn't very big. It was like a little space in space, you know, that was about eye level. And
well, how close do you live to a ley line?
Well, I'm not sure. Like I said, I live in Fort Worth. As the crow flies, I mean, I'm almost downtown Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's ley lines coming through here, for all I know, my house could be sitting on one. For all I know, but the Stephenville thing happened close to here, and if that's close to a ley line, I'm sure I'm probably pretty close to it.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that whatever this was, it was something that was trying to come into this reality, and I caught it. You know, I felt like, when I first saw it, I said, "Man, I caught it. I see ya." You know what I mean? I caught ya. That's the way I felt. Like somebody was trying to sneak in, and I saw him coming.
Do you think that's why it blinked out?
I think so. I really do. It was just so bizarre that I told myself, this is not real. You are not seeing this, Steve. And I turned my head just to make sure. And when I looked back, it was still there. And I said, you know what? This is just too weird. And then I wasn't intimidated, or I wasn't scared. And I brought the dog in.
Mm-hmm.
I brought the dog in. I looked back, and it was gone. And I said, well, I'm just going to go ahead and walk right by it. And that's I didn't have no fear of it at all. I just walked right through it. I didn't walk through it, but I mean, I was within about maybe a foot of where it was, and then I went about doing my business. And then when I came back, like I said, I was just overcome with the, like, vertigo type sickness. You know, I mean, I wasn't sick, but it was like you were just vertigo. Like, you know, you were just, if you stood up, you felt like you were gonna, like you were just out of kilter, like you were gonna fall over.
Wow, I tell you, that is bizarre. Let me ask you to do something. That is a very interesting story. We have a feature on my website. It's called Listener Stories. And if you'll click on it, it's Listener Stories. You click on that, and there's a place on the page there that opens. There's a place for you to click to submit your story. Submit that. Let's get that up where people can read it.
I'd be glad to.
All right. Thanks much for the call.
Sure, Kevin. Have a good night.
All right. All right, folks. Wow. Maybe you have had a similar experience. I know we have folks all over the world listening to the show, and that means that it's very likely that we've got folks listening who have had a similar experience. And if you have, give us a call or send us a flash message, and let's share it together here. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. We have a flash message here from Australia, From Andrew, it says, I'd like to know what information, if any, you have in regards to the recent information released by the doctor, by Dr. Stephen Greer, in regards to the Department of Defense scientist released by his handlers to work with the Orion Group to bring zero-point technology, which this scientist built and was told to take this technology to the world. Dr. Greer is publicly asking for people to donate money so that the Orion Group can build this technology to get to give to us. Is it possible to get Dr. Greer on the show as a guest to discuss this topic, because this may affect the whole world's future? Yes and no. Let me explain. We certainly would be glad to have Dr. Greer on the show again. He is very difficult to book. It took us months, and I do mean months, to get Dr. Greer on the show the last time. I'll be glad to invite him to come back, and maybe things will work out for him where it will not take months to get him back here. So the answer is yes, we'll invite him back. And we'll see what happens. No, I do not have any additional information other than what you have shared with us, Andrew. I have read all of that. It comes to me, you know, in emails. But I have no additional information about that. And I think it certainly is worthy of our having Dr. Greer back on the show to talk about it, if we can get him. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Walter from California.
Hello, Walter.
Hey. Hey, Kevin, just called in for... there are three ley lines that go through just east of Fort Worth, in between Fort Worth, Dallas, and they kind of centralize right down through Arlington. And there's another one that kind of loops the whole greater area around Fort Dallas. So he actually does have quite a bit of ley line energy going through there.
Okay. Have you ever heard of that sort of thing happening before?
You know how it is with the ley lines, as we've talked about, any number of phenomena are associated with these ley lines. So that specifically, no, but as far as, it sounds like an interdimensional kind of manifestation, you could say, and that, you know, interdimension is what ley lines are greatly all about. So kind of yes and no. That's a new...
By the way, folks, this is Walter Bosley, who was my guest last week. He's been a guest on the show several times, but he was here in the studio with me a week ago. And then also, he and I went up on South Mountain specifically looking for petroglyphs that may be associated with the ley lines. Now, I say all of that because, Walter, you remember when we climbed up and we were on that rock ledge?
Yes.
And there are two spirals, and then there are several figures of these lizard men.
Yes.
You noticed and pointed out to me that, you know, there's one of them that's just barely even visible. It's just almost like a shimmering figure in that shape. And then there's one next to him that's a little more materialized, and then there's one that's fully materialized. And so I wonder if what this caller saw is the sort of thing they were depicting in that petroglyph, that shimmering as the thing begins to materialize.
I'd say that would be a good call on that, you know, better than most, because, you know, that's in general the kind of phenomenon we're talking about here, is something trying to... tune in to our frequency, as it were. So that could very well... he might have been encountering one of these reptilians that you hear so much about, trying to get through. Now that would be a good call on that one. But it could be anything.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you caught last night's show, Walter, and we have a break coming up here, but I'll do this quickly. My guest last night was Daryl Sims, and he says, you know, these so-called UFOs go from visible light range into ultraviolet, into infrared, and then just blink out and disappear. He said, I think that's a hint. And he is of the opinion that these are not from some star system far away, but they're right here, but able to live and operate in spectrum that we cannot see.
I have for a while pretty much believed that about most of what's going on. I think it's just easy, and best this before, I think it's just a lot easier to say, honest witness, Oh, yeah, we're from Venus, or we're from Mars, or we're from Zeta Reticuli, when actually true explanation might be a little bit more complicated to understand.
Yeah, and a little closer to us. Hey, we're into a break. Thanks for the call, man.
Sure.
Nope. All right. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm Kevin Smith, your host. It's Open Line Live tonight. That means we'll talk about what you want to talk about. Just give us a call at 602-539-9580, and we'll talk about whatever is on your mind, all right? 602-539-9580. Once in a while, I get an email from someone who says, oh, man, you know, I wanted to call in, and, you know, I tried and I just couldn't get through. Well, if you keep hitting redial, you'll eventually get through. It is very often busy, and I don't know why this happens, but like right now, there's nobody calling, right? Once you decide you're going to call, 15 people will hit their phones at the same time. It's like a mass inspiration. And I don't know why that happens. But when that happens, the system will answer the first call, put the second and third call on hold, and then it starts sending people over to our voicemail. All right, caller, you made it. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Doc again, calling back from Arkansas.
Yes, Doc?
Well, I sent you that email to you, sir.
Okay.
About the baby, but a Hubble still. How the other question I was ask you about the gentleman down in Texas. Now, was his, if I was understanding him right, the image that he was seeing, was it like a wondering if it for Scott down there, Steve, what his name was it like a three dimensional image he was seeing, or was it like a blur?
You know, that's a good question. I didn't think to ask that. I don't know.
I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff here in Arkansas because there's a lot of caves and a lot of stuff like that down here. And I was just wondering about that question.
Yeah, good question. I don't know the answer to that. Doc, let me ask you, what part of Arkansas are you in?
Harrison, Arkansas.
Harrison, where is that?
Less than not even an hour from Branson, Missouri.
Okay. All right.
I run my own show here. I'm the one PC. I do a computer electronics show.
I see. Okay. Excellent. Now, in that part of Arkansas, I've got relatives in Arkansas. My dad is from there originally. But that's a part that I haven't been in. Is that part of Arkansas? You said there are a lot of caves. Now, are these like caverns, big cave systems, or are these just sort of small caves?
Big caverns.
Big caverns.
That's what we're called the Ozark Mountains up here.
Okay. Now, these caves. Do you see these sort of blurs or shimmering things around these caves often?
Yes, we do.
What do people say about that up there?
They just overlook it. They think it's just, they say it's gases, they say it's different things. I mean, because we do have fault lines here too, like, you know.
All right. What do you think about it? First, let me ask you this. Have you personally ever seen one of those?
I've seen one at one time. My opinion at that time is because of, at the time I was on so much medicine from, I'm a disabled firefighter, disabled person. And I think it could have been the medicine or that, it's kind of hard how I haven't seen it since.
Mm-hmm. So you're not real sure. The origins of that. It may have been real or it may have been caused by the medications you were on.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Okay. Has anyone in that area ever proposed a paranormal origin for these things?
Yeah. One of my other friends around here, he does paranormal ghost hunting, and I got a couple of friends on Blogstar that talks about that too. They talk about it and they said that we should definitely look into that.
If you look into it, I really would be interested in knowing what you find out. In fact, you know, if you guys investigate this and you come up with some kind of information about it, be sure you let me know, and, you know, we'll get you scheduled to come on and talk to us about it.
Well, definitely. I will definitely give you a holler, no problem. I'll answer you back or send you back a message when I find out more about it. Because we're planning this coming in January, February, March to do some hunting and searching around these caves.
All right.
Because I got a whole bunch of infrared cameras and a whole bunch of, night vision cameras and everything like that here.
All right. Well, when you do that, be sure you get in touch with me and let's do a show.
Okay, sounds great. You have yourself a good day.
Thanks for the call. All right, folks. There you have it. These things are seen up in a part of Arkansas, and they're going to do an investigation. Doc and his friends are going to do an investigation on that. When we find out something, I'll put it on the air, and we'll talk about it. The telephone number is 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580. And this call from Louisiana. Caller, your first name, and what part of Louisiana are you in?
This is Trey calling from Lincoln Parish.
From Lincoln Parish.
Yeah, that's right down the road from you. It's Kevin. If you were heading from Monroe to...
Oh, I know where Lincoln Parish is.
Okay, it's the second exit, and there's three exits there.
Ruston, Louisiana.
Yeah, we moved from Atlanta, so we're here now, here in the Holy Land.
the fisherman's paradise, the sportsman's paradise.
Yeah, Kevin, I think what Kevin said is probably right. It's whatever's coming towards our solar system is doing, putting all the pressure on everything. You know, whatever it is, whatever name you want to call it. From what I understood Steve saying, and he compared it to the movie, is you can kind of see through the thing, but you can see it was there kind of like an outline, almost like you had like a black pen outlining it, but in the middle of it was translucent, transparent kind of, but you could see a form. But sounds like he's just seeing something. And also it reminded me of your guy from South Mountain, talking about how when the things come out of the mountains, they start to take form, and they're kind of blurry and misshapen, kind of, like they're, you know, changing into a different, or changing their vibrational pattern or whatever, maybe, so.
Yeah.
But that reminded me of. There's one thing I got to suggest, Kevin, is YouTube, and it's, there's some, a lot of, you know, stuff out there there's fake and stuff that's on YouTube, but the one is you have to type in to search strange creatures caught on video or caught on tape, one or the other. And you'll find one. These guys, I don't know what country they're in. I can't understand the language. They're out in the woods, in the forest, and they're walking. And they come up on something, and they're, you see them like point down to a twig like they saw a branch had been broken. And they walk up, and there's something that's humanoid, and it's sitting on a rock. And when they walk up to it, you can see it, and it's really limber looking. And it's kind of hard to see what it is, but you can tell it's really thin, and it's kind of sitting there. And when they walk up close to it, it turns its head and looks at them, and you see its eyes glowing, and it's a humanoid, and it doesn't have any hair. And it looks kind of like a combination of the character from Lord of the Rings, Gollum, but the head of it is bald-looking, and it kind of looks like the old vampire Nosferatu as far as the bald hair in the face goes.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You have seen that?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's the only. There's a couple other ones that are good, but that was the best one as far as something you can see. You can't deny that, you know, it's alive, whatever the heck it was. So.
And it's bizarre.
Yeah, it is bizarre. And what I thought of when I saw it, Kevin, was something that might live in the caves and come out at night or something like that. And that's what I would think. This wasn't something that they would have seen sitting there on that rock during the day. But anyways.
Well, now that you are now that you're in Louisiana, are you doing any fishing?
No, not yet. But there's plenty of it around here. I was hoping to do it the lazy way, find someone who does a lot of fishing, just buy the meat off them. That would be a lot easier than going to catch it yourself.
But. Yeah, but not as fun. Man, you got to get over to the Monroe area, the West Monroe area, and fish in Shinny Break.
Well, I've never been there, but I can tell you this. I heard you mention it one night, that plant there, that paper mill or whatever,
yeah,
is still there.
Yeah, you can probably smell it in Ruston, can't you?
Yeah, I was. Like a night after you mentioned it, I drove by there. I was like, well, that's the one Kevin was talking about.
That's
anyways,
right.
Anyways, Kevin, thanks for taking my call, man.
All right, thanks for the call. All right. Oh, yeah, I spent a lot of hours fishing at Shinny Break in the West Monroe, Louisiana area. It's a swamp, sort of, but there is one part of it that has a deep hole in it. All the rest of it's about 7 feet deep, but there's one part that has a deep hole in it, and if Trey's still listening, that's the place, man. If you like to fish for bass, that's the place. All right, the telephone line is open, and the telephone number is 602-539-9580. And, boy, we've just gotten a lot of interesting information in here tonight. And the story that we got, the account that we got from Steve in Fort Worth, man, that's got my interest up. You know, that movie that he mentioned, The Predator, that's one of my favorites. It's not my favorite. It's one of my favorites. Along with The Chronicles of Riddick. That's one of my favorites. All of the Star Wars movies. Those are among my favorites. But Predator is certainly one. And, you know, now that Jeff Woolline has gotten me to take a serious look at these petroglyphs, and by a serious look, I mean, you know, not it's they're always interesting, but serious in terms of these are trying to tell a story. They're trying to depict a story, and what is it that they are depicting? Well, now that I've done that, I see, as you heard me describe with Walter when he called in, and those of you who have gotten our DVD of that trip, it's called Ancient Energy and Petroglyphs. You've gotten that DVD. I talk about it in there, and you can see it in the DVD where you've got one of these things, creatures, just sort of beginning to materialize, and then one that's about half materialized, and then one that's fully materialized. And it appears that what you're seeing is either three different beings, each one in a different stage of materializing, or you're looking at the process of one materializing. First, just sort of the shimmering shape, and then a little bit more materialized, and then fully materialized. And, you know, And people say, well, do you believe that really happened? I don't believe anything, folks. You've heard me say that. A thing either is or it isn't. What I do know is that's what they drew. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing excellent, sir. How are you doing?
Outstanding.
Hey, I had a quick question for you. I was hoping you could refresh my memory on. You had a guest earlier this week, I believe, or maybe the tail end of last week. But the gentleman was setting up cameras on, like, bands and stuff and catching the reflection of an image of, like, what he believed to be, like, aliens and stuff like that. Do you remember that?
I do.
Do you remember what that gentleman's name is? I wanted to go and try to find some more of his videos, but I...
David Eckhart.
David Eckhart.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that show was just so weird and intriguing all at the same time.
His photos and his video are just eye-popping. They really are.
Yeah, that one with the figure in the bathroom flipping the light on and off. I mean, it almost kind of sends little chills down your spine. It's so cool.
Yeah, you can watch it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent, sir. I'll let you go here and let somebody else on. I appreciate the info.
All right. Thank you much. All right, folks, 602-539-9580 is the telephone number. It's open line live. That means we will talk about whatever you want to talk about. You may want to ask a question about a guest that we've had on, or it may be that you just want to comment on one of the shows. Maybe you were not able to get in on the night when we had that particular guest that you want to comment on. That's fine. That's what Open Line is all about. Like I said, I have had a very interesting day today. This telephone has been a dimension unto itself today. And I have heard today things that I can't tell you about them yet, and some of them I may never be able to tell you about. But it has just been another dimension today. And we do have scheduled one of these individuals to be with me on Monday. And I think you're going to find that one to be, that one is going to roll your toenails up. But, and you want to tell everybody, you know, to be sure and tune in. And hopefully this thing will come off just like it's supposed to. But it's going to be a good show. But Open Line Live is where you get the opportunity to say whatever you want to say. You may want to call in and say, you know, Smith, I think you've lost it. You're nuts, man. You have absolutely lost it. Just be prepared when you say that for me to say, okay, what's your evidence? I want you to say why, and, you know, it's freedom of speech. As long as you don't resort to profanity, we're in good shape here. You can oppose what I say or oppose me and say what you really think, or you can call in with any other kind of topic you want to talk about, but not politics. All right, I want to show you a picture. Now, the reason I'm showing you this picture, for those of you who are watching our internet TV, the reason I'm showing you this picture is because I have talked about this picture several times, and I've mentioned it. And I got an email that I read today from someone who said, you know, I've heard you mention that picture several times on your show. I'd like to see it. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to tell you where this is, and I'm going to ask you just to take a good look at this picture and see what you can see. See if you can figure out what this is, and see if you can figure out where this is. Now, I'll tell you the story. I did this very thing with two friends of mine who happened to be commercial airline pilots. And I put this picture up on my computer screen, and I said, you know, I've been trying to figure out what this is. Can either of you guys tell me what I'm looking at here? And both of them said, well, the first one said this. He said, well, first of all, you understand that we are used to looking at things from the air. And so we can see and identify things from the air that maybe a lot of people would not notice, would not see, but we are accustomed to looking at things from the air. We're trained to, and so, you know, that's what we do. I said, sure, I understand. And he said, that is an airstrip. He said, it's a one airstrip airport. And he said, there's a tower, and he said, there's either a hangar or maybe a maintenance building, and it's big, it's huge. And he said, you know, this is not a very good picture, so I really can't tell you where it is, but that is an airstrip. There's the tower, there's the hangar. Well, this photograph is a photograph from the surface of Titan, one of the moons of Saturn. And I got him to point out to me what he was talking about that made him say it's an airstrip. He said, well, and that's before I told him it was on Titan. He said, well, here is the tower and some other buildings. And he said, this is the landing strip. All right? Now, I'm going to remove those marks and let you look at this picture without the markings that I've made on it. And you can see what he's talking about. He said, this is a huge building. It is perhaps a hangar or repair center. Again, I'm going to remove the markings and let you see it. And then he said, this is some type of area to bring airplanes off the main runway, and the purpose would appear to be something to do with that building at the end of this peninsula. And then he said, this is a very large structure over here that is probably airport administration. These are commercial airline pilots. Both of them agreed with what they were looking at. And what you are looking at is on the surface of Titan. And, you know, I'm not accustomed to looking at things from the air in as much as they are, although I've done quite a lot of flying. And, yes, I can sort of see, I can see what they're talking about, that it does have that appearance to it. It's a little bit blurry. This was taken by the Huygens probe as it was floating down or falling down with parachutes toward the surface of Titan. And what you can't see in this picture, because this picture has not been doctored at all. This is the picture as it has been released to the public. Okay, but if you put this into your graphics program where you can adjust contrast, what you see is that all this area here looks like an ocean. Looks like water. Of course, they tell us that there's no water on Titan, that this is most likely liquid methane. But regardless of whatever it is, it's an ocean of that stuff. And even in this picture, if you look carefully, you can see sort of a shoreline right along the edge there. And that's on Titan. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with Open Line Live. What has happened to you? Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I am your host, Kevin Smith. It's Open Line Live tonight. That means we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Hey, what did you think about that picture that I put up? I'll put it back up for you for just a second here. And this is a picture of Titan. This picture was taken by the Huygens probe as it was landing on Titan. Two commercial airline pilots, not knowing what this picture really was, and I didn't give them any information other than, guys, I'm trying to make out what this picture is. Can you tell me, what do you see? And they told me that That is an airstrip, and there are buildings. There's a tower. There's a big building, if you missed it, I'll mark it. There's the tower area right here. There's a big building in this area, actually, right here, and there is the landing strip or the runway, and this is a taxiway back here. And there's a crossover right there, and there's some kind of a building right there. And that's what they told me. And they said airport administration is in this area right here. Most likely that's what it is. And they were shocked, absolutely shocked, when I told them where this really is. And in fact, they wanted to go to the website where I had downloaded these long strips of pictures and went through them one by one looking for anomalies and found this one. They wanted to go see it on that site, and so we did. And, it's amazing. Now, I'm fairly sure that being on Titan, I can't say with 100% certainty, but I'm fairly sure that being on Titan, that is not an airport. Fairly sure of that. On the other hand, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to show you this, I got that email I was telling you about. But remember when we talked about the strange things happening on Saturn early in the show? And there is this strange structure on Saturn. Now, they're saying that that aurora that you're looking at, that blue thing, is unlike any aurora they have ever seen anywhere. Okay, I'm not sure why that's unlike any aurora they've ever seen. I really didn't get that. But when you look at this picture, it's not the first time I've seen this. You see this octagon that's down on the surface. What's that all about? Why is there this perfect geological, when I say perfect, but you understand what I'm saying. It looks perfectly like an octagon, geological shape down on the surface of Saturn, and that's at the North Pole of Saturn. And I've seen it before. They're puzzled about that as well, but they're not talking about that very much. However, they are talking about this aurora, and they're saying it's unlike any aurora that we have ever seen elsewhere, anywhere. Strange things happen out there on these other heavenly bodies. Strange and anomalous things. And the question is if that's not an airstrip, and I don't really suspect that it is, what is it? And is this all geological? Well, the picture is really, in my opinion, too blurry for us to be able to tell. However, it does look like a couple of things here. It does, that right there looks like a dome shape. It really does. And, you know, this over here, I don't know whether that's geological or built. I suspect it's geological. But that that one feature looks like a dome shape. If you remember, I showed you some pictures from Mars where there is a facility, a building, and it has a round hole in the top of an area that sort of juts out like a kind of like a key. And this one has the same thing. There's a hole in the top of that facility, just like the thing that we saw on Mars. Now, when I say facility, maybe I should say structure to be more accurate. That looks like the same kind of stuff that we saw on Mars. So I don't know. Titan is a mysterious place. It has much more weird stuff on it than they have talked about publicly, but you can go and get the pictures and look at it yourself and find out that it is, in fact, a very anomalous place. All right, now let's not forget something very, very important, and that is this is an open line show. That means it's not about me, it's about you, all right? 602-539-9580. Maybe you've had some strange, anomalous experience happen to you, like Steve in Fort Worth did. Or maybe you want to comment on something that we've talked about previously. Or you might want to comment on some of these photographs that we've been looking at here tonight. It's your call, but that means you have to make the call. 602-539-9580. Never forget, if you're outside of the United States and you're outside of Canada, you're anywhere else in the world, you can send me a flash message, and I'll read your message, and we'll comment on it if it needs to be commented on. And so we want you to participate as well. You don't have to be living here in order to participate in the show. All right. Do you remember when I was talking a few weeks ago about the fact that, you know, when they did the analysis of the soil on Mars, they first said, well, this is dirt just like you have in your backyard. You could grow asparagus in it. Remember that? The chief scientist of the Phoenix project, the Phoenix lander, is the one that made that comment. Shortly after he said that, other scientists rushed to the news with, hold on a minute, we found something in the soil that probably precludes life being there. We found perchlorate. Well, as soon as they said that, I went on the air with fact that perchlorate occurs naturally right here on Earth, and there are 27 states that have very high levels of perchlorate right now. And that has not precluded human life from living and other types of life from living in those 27 states. Then I also revealed to you the fact that when they did the test, perchlorate is, you have a chlorine molecule and then six oxygen molecules bonded to it. So it's very high in oxygen content, but it has chlorine in it. And when they did these tests that told them, or they did these tests where they told us it was perchlorate, the test did not detect the presence of any chlorine. It detected only oxygen. The tests, their graphs shot way off the graph. I mean, it's lots of oxygen in the dirt. on Mars. Lots of oxygen. Well, I played this clip, and I want to play it again. I want you to listen. Remember when I did the show about the blue skies and on Mars and that the ground is really not all that red? And I said, how long have they known that? And I showed you a picture taken by the Viking lander in 1976, and it had blue skies and the ground is not so red. And I said, NASA has known at least since 1976. But they've been giving us pictures with red skies and very red soil. Remember that? All right, now let's talk about that dirt. Let's talk about that high oxygen content in the dirt. They scooped up some of the soil, dumped it into one of the little laboratories there on board the Phoenix lander. It analyzed it by cooking it off with heat, and the oxygen content jumped off the graph. So they took another scoop of it and dumped it into the wet lab. That's where they mix it with wet chemicals and do an analysis. The same results, the oxygen jumped off the graph. So they told us it was perchlorate, but neither of those experiments produced any chlorine. So it's not perchlorate, it is oxygen. All right, now listen to this. This is from 1976, and this is Dr. Harold Klein of NASA. He was the chief biologist on the Viking lander project. Listen to this.
What we have found, in fact, is something like 15 times as much oxygen in that atmosphere as we can account for from known sources.
1976, the Viking lander scooped up soil in a completely different location and cooked it off in a laboratory on board the Viking lander. And Dr. Harold Klein says what we have found is approximately 15 times more oxygen than we can account for from all the known sources around there. So I want you to hear it again.
What we have found, in fact, is something like 15 times as much oxygen in that atmosphere as we can account for from known sources.
What do you think about that? All right. In my hand, I now hold a report. NASA is testing the lunar rovers, the new lunar rovers, the ones that will be sent next. NASA has concluded almost 2 weeks of testing equipment and lunar rover concepts on Hawaii's volcanic soil. You know what they were doing? What they were doing, among other things, was testing these rovers for the ability to scoop up soil and convert what's in it to oxygen. Do you think maybe when NASA found out that Mars dirt is full of oxygen in 1976, they started planning for this? We're going to talk about that some more when we come back. And we shall be back shortly. We were talking about this thing about oxygen being in the soil on Mars. Now, the telephone line is open. I just took a look to see, and we got some weird stuff going on with the automated software, and it set it for do not disturb. I didn't do that. So if you've been trying to call in, please feel free to do so now. They've known since 1976 that there was at least, according to that scientist that I played the sound clip for you. I played Dr. Harold Klein reporting in 1976 on their findings from the Viking lander. He said there's 15 times more oxygen in the atmosphere than we can account for, and that's on Mars, than we can account for from all known sources. Now, here we find In the Phoenix lander, they scooped up soil, burned it, and got oxygen. And I mean, I've seen pictures of the graph. It jumps right off the graph. And so they scooped up some more and put it into the chemical laboratory and tested it. And the oxygen jumps right off the graph. Well, then what they say, remember, I said, are you going to believe what you hear? Are you going to believe what you see? Remember that? What they say about this soil on Mars is that's perchlorate. Well, perchlorate has chlorine in it. That's why it's perchlorate. And they didn't find any chlorine in those samples. But they did find tons of oxygen, lots of oxygen in those samples. And they have known since 1976 that the official line about the Martian atmosphere was not true. We've been getting little snippets of the truth. Dr. Harold Klein tells us that there's 15 times more oxygen than what they have, what they said they had. I think the official line is that there's about 1% oxygen on Mars. 15 times that would be what? 15%. Do you know what we have here? It's about 18%. And when you get up in the higher elevations of the mountains, it drops down to about 15%. People live up there, and it drops down to about 15%. I put two and two together here, and what do you have? You've got oxygen on Mars. I didn't say so. NASA said so.
What we have found, in fact, is something like 15 times as much oxygen in that atmosphere as we can account for from known sources.
Like I said, I didn't say it. NASA scientists said it. Now NASA is preparing these rovers and testing these rovers that will be going to the moon. And they are testing them so that to see if they can scoop up soil and rocks and convert it to oxygen. And it says NASA's lunar exploration plan currently projects that on-site lunar resources could generate 1 to 2 metric tons of oxygen annually. This is roughly the amount of oxygen that 4 to 6 people living at a lunar outpost might breathe in a year. So they're going to do this on the moon. You think maybe they got the idea from Martian dirt? You think maybe they got, well, then you might say, well, yeah, it seems natural. The question then is, why haven't they told us openly the truth about Mars? Again, I don't assign any nefarious motives to NASA in why they haven't told us. I just don't know why, and I'm asking the question, why haven't they? There are little snippets of truth, but whenever the official statements come out, They still talk about a Mars that is dead. They talk about a Mars where the atmosphere is so thin it can't even hold water vapor and liquid water can't exist on the surface. They do show us their pictures, and their pictures show us a blue sky and a kind of sandy red soil. And they show us, and I showed you here, NASA pictures of some kind of liquid, I would presume water, some kind of liquid in kind of a Martian pothole that the rover just drove through, and they say it can't exist. I showed you a Hubble Space Telescope photograph of a cyclone on Mars so massive that the eye of the cyclone is the size of the state of Texas. And that was a water vapor cyclone. That was water cyclone. Now, that's a lot of water. And the atmosphere is so thin that it can't hold water, and it's so thin it can't, liquid water can't exist. Well, you can't have a cyclone without liquid water. That was a liquid water cyclone. It was massive, bigger than any we've ever seen on this planet. And now, you know, the pieces, it takes a little while, and I have to go back and you know, when something new comes out, I have to go back and bring these together for you. But Viking found 15 times more oxygen in the atmosphere than they could account for from all known sources. 15 times more than it had is breathable. 15 times more than they told us it had is breathable. And when they cooked off the dirt, the oxygen readings jumped off the graph. And now we're planning to go to the moon and cook off soil on the moon to convert to oxygen. The field demonstrations in Hawaii showed how lunar materials might be extracted. It also showcased the hydrogen reduction system used to manufacture oxygen from those materials and how the oxygen would be stored. So it's beginning to come together, isn't it? It's beginning all to come together. And the pieces of the puzzle are looking exactly like what we've been telling you, not just me, but lots of talk show hosts, lots of the guests. As the pieces are coming together, it's looking exactly like what they've been telling you, as opposed to what the official scientists have been telling you. It's beginning to look exactly like what these folks have been saying, the folks that NASA and others have said, they've ridiculed them, they said they're nuts, they're kooky, but when the picture is put together now, NASA's own picture, it's looking exactly like what they've been ridiculing. Isn't that amazing? All right, folks, I hope you've enjoyed the show. We're just about out of time, and I want to thank you for being here this evening. It has been a blast, and I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope that you will bring friends with you. A lot of you go to MySpace, and a lot of you go to various news groups and so forth, and everywhere you go, when you post a message, be sure you advise people to listen to the Kevin Smith Show, all right? Everywhere you post a message, tell them to listen to the Kevin Smith Show. I appreciate your help. Oh, and don't forget, if you donate $20 or more to help us keep broadcasting, we're going to send you this DVD. It's about the ley lines and the petroglyphs out on South Mountain. We take you up to places you can't even see from the ground. We climbed up there and got it for you. Amazing stuff. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until Monday. So long, everybody.